Welcome to Off the Chart with Medical Economics, a podcast featuring lively and informative conversations with healthcare experts, opinion leaders, and practicing physicians about the challenges facing doctors in medical practices today. I'm Jeff Bendix, Senior Editor of Medical Economics.
I'm speaking today with Dr. Taras Malay, an internist in Cleveland, Ohio. Dr. Malay has been collecting medical supplies to send to Ukraine. He's here to tell us about how that effort is going and what he's hearing from his colleagues in that war-torn nation. Thanks for joining us today, Dr. Malay.
Well, thank you for inviting me today.
Tell us first a little bit about your background. Are you a native of Ukraine?
No, my parents escaped when the Soviets were coming to Ukraine in the 1940s. So they immigrated to the United States. So I was born, raised, and still live in Cleveland, Ohio.
How long have you been practicing?
It's been just over 30 years.
Okay. You were about to say something else, I think.
Oh, I was just going to say, I went to Ohio State for my undergrad, went to Medical College of Ohio for medical school, did my training at the Cleveland Clinic, and stayed in the area and part of University Hospitals of Cleveland, and been practicing both in the hospital and in an outpatient setting.
How did you get involved with collecting in medical supplies and sending them to Ukraine?
Well, I've always been involved in the Ukrainian community. And since Ukraine has been an independent country in the 1990s, I started traveling over there. And actually, I met my wife there. And I've always been helping, getting supplies, and even lecturing over there in Ukraine. Yeah, I'm basically getting them more prepared for the Western world as opposed to the old Soviet state that they were at. And most recently, since my children have grown up and are in college, I've been significantly more active with doing lectures. We were doing COVID podcasts and teachings virtually. And I've been with different organizations here in Cleveland, and we have been sending medical supplies, but really not that much because they're pretty much we're getting on their own feet.
Do you speak the language?
Yes.
And do you have family there?
I have second and third cousins in Kyiv, and some of them are physicians.
How about on your wife's side?
She's a only child, okay. But the parents live in Kyiv.
What sorts of supplies have you been sending?
At first, we just asked for any supplies. We were mostly getting a lot of PPEs, gowns, gloves, masks, sanitizing. And we had a tremendous amount of gifts from hospitals, from people, to the point that we're stocked up on that. But I'm in contact with Ukraine, both with my colleagues and with the Ministry of Health in Ukraine. And they are, technology is pretty good. Instantaneously, I'm getting either texts, Messenger, Viber, WhatsApp of the needs of different hospitals. And the biggest thing that they really need is wound care, because basically you're having trauma. I mean, you do see some of the things that are happening on TV, on the internet, but there's a lot more injuries than the one little bomb or missile that hits a apartment complex. I mean, there's a lot more things going on there. So there's many injured, and the hospitals are overfilled with injuries. So right now we're just mostly sending gauze, wraps, orthopedic supplies, because there's a lot of broken bones and wounds, and we're worried about infections, IVs, anything you can think about with related to injuries, we are now sending. We're kind of not sending the other stuff. We're focused on that.
How do you get the word out?
Basically, when this happened, the next day I was on the phone calling different vendors, hospitals, obviously, in my community, after 30 years, you develop relationships and you just ask them. And it's been overwhelming how much everybody's been helping.
And you already had the supply chains established, I guess, for getting the materials over there.
Well, yes. Yeah, but before, there was no rush. We would collect things, you know, gather enough pallets that we'd have a shipment, you know, that would show up in 4 to 6 weeks. Well, we need it yesterday. So, and the other problem is, you know, we were shipping it to Kyiv, Kharkiv, Dnipro, all the major cities in Ukraine. Well, you can't ship it there. So our chain has now gone to flying it into Warsaw. And then from Warsaw, we have truckers that are coming from Ukraine across the border, picking up with semis and driving them to Lviv, which is the major city in Western Ukraine. And basically now it's volunteers driving them. I don't know all the details now because it changes daily, depending, you know, what's getting bombed, what's not getting bombed, where you can go, what bridges out. Yeah, I can't even go into the details of that. So our supply chain is changed significantly from what we were doing over the last several years than whenever we send a shipment. So it's a lot more difficult, but we do have some people on the ground and we try to monitor that these shipments are getting to the hospitals and nothing's happening to them. And the reports, we sent 4 big shipments and all 4 have arrived to their destinations.
How do the supplies get from here to Warsaw? Do you send them by, you know, Federal Express or what's...
You can, but I have no idea what that price is. The Ukrainian community also... here in Cleveland, I mean, we have several small trucking companies and we actually have one that's larger and they pretty much are all on board. I call them up, you know, one of the hospitals says, hey, we have how many? And they call up a driver, the semi pulls into the dock there, gets it. We take it to their warehouse. At the warehouse, we check it. We have to check, make sure nothing's expired. We make sure everything's wrapped and all good, and they drive it. So if I get a call right now from a hospital, I could probably have somebody picking it up in 2 hours, and they'll have it in Newark or in JFK or in Chicago by morning. But then we have to get a flight. And the number one company that we're using is Lot, which is the Polish company. They fly direct from Newark, from JFK, and from Chicago.
And then presumably it's picked up on the other end and trucked into Ukraine.
Right. So again, with modern technology, it's not like you have to, you know, call them up, you text them, you write all the orders, we say how many pallets we have, what's in each pallet, and we, you know, send it where we want these pallets going.
What are you hearing from your contacts on the ground there about the situation generally and how they're feeling? Are they frightened? Are they worried?
Well, the ones that we're doing the logistics with are Western Ukraine, so not much going on there. You know, once in a while, you know, the airport or a military facility is getting bombed. So, relatively speaking, they're upbeat. But then again, most of the time that I've been, since my wife is from Kyiv, most of my friends, colleagues that I've got to know over the past 30 years are in Kyiv. They've been pretty much positive. However, you can see that they're quite frustrated because they're pretty much working, you know, 20 hours a day because they're just, the whole hospital is full with injured people. And they've converted, you know, non-hospital or like semi-medical facilities into a, you know, medical ward, a, you know, ICU. And obviously bombs are going off. And sometimes you catch them when there is bombs and I go, are you going to the shelter? He goes, well, we're not going to be going back and forth to the shelter. We got patients. You're not going to be carrying patients down into the shelter. I call my cousins. One's a physician. I call her every other day. And she tries to be positive, but at times I kind of hear her get teared up.
Not surprising.
Yeah, I mean, it's almost kind of unbelievable. We're in 2021. Sorry, yes. 2022. I'm already confused. 2022.
Yes.
And this is going on. You figure this was all done, you know, 80 years ago.
Yes. What do you, your patients, colleagues, people you encounter here say when they hear what you're doing?
Everybody's encouraging. I mean, these past 2 weeks, right away, I told my office manager, he says, kind of block my schedule so I have some blank spots, because in between patients, I'm calling vendors, doing the logistics. You know, people are calling me because, you know, a lot of the volunteers are not medical. So they say, do we want this or we don't want it? You know, what's the expiration? How much of this do we want? So I'm always getting those phone calls. So phone texts. The thing is, all this technology is also kind of, so either they send me an email or WhatsApp or a messenger or or they're putting on Facebook on all these, and I need to try to juggle all that stuff. My partner said, whatever you need, take the time off, do whatever.
That's wonderful.
My patients, it's kind of, you know, you have your normal patient appointment, and then they start asking me questions, and plenty of support. And everybody's asking where to donate, how to donate.
Have you had to cut back on the number of patients you see?
Oh, absolutely. I've cut down 50%, 60% these past 2 weeks. And, you know, things that could wait, physicals, preventative care. I kind of switched them to later because I really want to get this organized.
Sure. That sounds like a full-time job just by itself.
Yes. Well, I've kind of, I have some nieces and nephew, which I have kind of grabbed, and they're my technical support from organizing stuff. We went to the warehouse, and we have, you know, I don't know, at one point we had probably had 50 or 60 pallets there. So we just went through it. I said what it was. You know, by the time I drove home, here comes an email, and it has an Excel spreadsheet of everything that's everywhere. These young folk really got things together. I don't know how long it would take me to write an Excel spreadsheet, because, you know, at work, your staff does all these things.
How long do you think you'll keep doing this?
Well, my plan is to do as much as I can. So at this point, I mean, you know, we have these discussions sometimes here in the office, and I say, how are we blessed to be living in America?
So you'll just continue for as long as
your contacts are
needed.
I mean, well, obviously I don't want my patients to suffer, and I do it in our office. We have coverage. Mm-hmm. So patient care will not suffer. Maybe some of the patients do want to see me because they've known me for 20, 30 years. But they're really understanding. Like a couple of patients actually called up here, and my office manager goes, these patients call, they have a follow-up appointment, but they know you're probably busy. They're going to reschedule. Okay. So they kind of knew that. So I had to reschedule one lady twice. I really wanted to see her. But then I had to go to the warehouse and take care of it because they're going to ship it out. And she said, whatever, I'll show up at 5-6 o'clock. That's fine. Just move me to whatever you want. So yeah, everything's great here. We live in a wonderful country. We are so blessed. You asked me, how long can I keep this up? I think as long as my health is good and I am healthy. So I'm just going to keep on going, because I don't know what to really, say, but,
Does this involve any financial sacrifice on your part?
If absolutely.
Patients?
For me, well, if I don't work, I don't get paid, but mm-hmm. that's okay. I mean, what are they losing compared to my salary? I mean, and why are we even talking about money? People are dying. And, you know, getting, you know, a pallet of antibiotics, that may save, I don't know, 50, 100 people. Because they may be somewhere in some ward sitting, you know, trying to heal, but don't have the antibiotics and they're going to die. They have nowhere to get it.
How can other doctors who are who hear this help Ukraine, either by contributing to you, or are there organizations they can donate to, or what can they do?
I'm not sure what some of the, you know, the bigger organizations that, you know, Red Cross and,
And there's a whole bunch that are getting involved. I don't know the details because I haven't really sat down and I haven't seen or investigated what they're doing. But I do have some colleagues, Ukrainian, that flew out to Poland. They're at the border, and some of them actually went to Lviv, and they see that some of these other international organizations are showing up. What are they doing and how they're doing? I've been contacted by a couple organizations if I'm willing to even go there and work. And I'm debating that right now too. But, you know, the problem with, you know, a bigger organization, they're moving slow. They need, I know some organizations, and I don't want to bring up names, but, you know, they have the material, they're going to ship the material, but they're still working on the bureaucracy. Our group, which is a local group, nonprofit, it's called Cleveland Maidan Association. And basically, we've already did 3 shipments because I call, you know, somebody donates, the regional hospitals have donated. I call up our local shipping trucking company. They pick it up. When I'm getting ready picking it up, I call up the guy that says, can you call our designated person who calls up the airlines and how much space they have on for cargo. And in 48 hours, we got something sitting in a LUT flight going to Warsaw.
Wow.
And once we know it's on the plane, we already text the guys in Lviv that say it's going to arrive then. Here's your paperwork, download it and meet them there. Our slowest point is getting across the border because the Polish-Ukrainian border is a zoo, not going from Poland to Ukraine, but from Ukraine to Poland. Yes. And basically the truck's having a hard time getting through. And another little problem is there's martial law in Ukraine. They don't want people driving at night. So so those are issues. So I thought at this point, until some of these other organizations get their boots on the ground, I'm not talking Ukraine necessarily, but in Poland, and get going. And my job here may not be as efficient, effective. I may be going to Ukraine and working there. I still have to check that with my wife, though.
Does your organization have a website or a way that people can get in touch with you?
Yes. Well, I'm working with a lot of organizations, actually, but the one that I've been really active with was this one. It's called Cleveland Maidan Association. Maidan is M-A-I-D-A-N. And we also have a Ukrainian Medical Association of North America. And that's, you know, all the doctors and nurses, we kind of group together. We do different projects throughout the years. But now, again, that's all ramped up. All these physicians are kicking in, and because I'm in contact with Detroit, with New York, with Chicago, to coordinate some of these things, so we're not also shipping similar things, you know, because if you're shipping similar things, you know, the hospital may have a whole bunch of scalpels, but there's no gauze to, you know, wipe something down, so we're trying to coordinate that. So those are kind of the more medical ones, and then we also have Ukrainian community organizations, umbrella organization. There's one in Cleveland. And they're working also through politicians. We have some, Senator Portman's helpful. Congressman Capture is helpful. And the hospitals here in Cleveland have been also very supportive. And I already saw some of the lists of what they're planning on shipping over. And it's going to be a great shipment for intensive care units. I mean, that's the ones we really worry about. I mean, outpatient stuff, people can fend for themselves, but, you know, things that where you have major injuries, that's where our focus is now.
Anything else you'd like to add?
Not really. Okay. I don't know. You kind of asked a lot of good questions.
Well, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us.
Sure.
And best of luck with your work.
We know that even if it ends soon, it's still cleaning up this mess is still going to be for a long time.
Thanks for listening. You can subscribe to our podcasts on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, and Spotify. And when you do, please leave a review. You can find previous podcast episodes on our website, medicaleconomics.com, under the Media tab. We welcome your comments and suggestions for future podcast topics. You can email these to us at medec@mjhlifesciences.com. And while visiting our website, be sure to check out the latest news about the business of healthcare and explore the many other resources you'll find there. We hope you'll listen next month for a new episode of Off the Chart with Medical Economics.